So I thought I would try to present to you some material on what it means to give honor to the wife and mother of your family from 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read these verses for you. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord for me to write the same things to you. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God, who also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Verse 7 tells us that husbands are to dwell with their wives in an understanding way. They are to give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and because the husband and wife are heirs together of the grace of life, this is to be so. In fact, you might think to yourself, it almost seems incongruous, doesn't it? Or it doesn't seem quite like something that flows together logically, but it says here that the wife is the weaker vessel, and therefore she is to be given honor. Isn't that interesting? I find that very interesting wording. Usually we think when we give honor that it's relating to strength in some way, but in this case it is not. And it is not a bad thing that the wife is the weaker vessel. I want you to see that, first of all, because after all, husband and wife are heirs together of the grace of life. If this honor is given by the husband, then Peter says here that their prayers will not be hindered. And this is something which every husband ought to strive for. He ought to give instructions to all of his children to honor their mother as well, to give honor to the wife and mother in a household, because she is the weaker vessel, means that even though she may be weaker physically than the man, and even though she was not created to be the head of the household or the pastor or teacher in the church, that she should nevertheless be honored because of the fact that God has created her to become, by his conveying to her the grace of Christ, a beautiful crown jewel in the household. She is, by his designation, designed to be held in high regard. The person who is most highly prized, because God has appointed her to this honored position of wife and mother. He has given her this honored position in the family by bestowing upon her himself, it says here, the grace of life. The grace of life naturally, and all the gifts that he gives to her, and he builds spiritual character and beauty into her life by the spiritual gifts that she has and the graces that he communicates to her by the Holy Spirit. He himself is building her character as a Christian by his mighty grace. And what I want to do at this time is to set before you the four reasons that are listed here as to why the godly wife and mother is to be honored. First, she is to be honored because of her submissive spirit. Now, we must ask ourselves the question, what does it mean to be submissive in the context of verse 1? Well, I believe that it means that the wife and mother consciously places herself under the headship and God-given authority of her husband, trusting that God will instruct and lead and guide him into the truth of his will in the Bible. She knows from verses like these that this is God's will for her to be submissive. And she knows that her submission is something that God will greatly bless to the welfare and well-being of the whole household if she respects him and follows his lead. When it is biblical and when it is godly, and it says here even that if he isn't being obedient to the word, that she can win him without a word. What an amazing set of verses these are. I want you to look with me over at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 24. It says here, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now here we see that the husband has been appointed by God to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And this gives us a great indication of what the husband's honor to his wife is to consist of. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And the husband has a similar analogous earthly headship over his wife. The husband leads and guides and directs all the affairs of the spiritual household, but he does so as Christ did. That's what's being said here in these passages that I'm reading to you this morning. And Christ is the Savior of the body, the one who laid down his life for his bride, the church. And as such, will always be thinking about what he can do, that is Christ, to give her everything that she needs for life and godliness. And further, he is always thinking about everything that he can do, the husband, that is, to show forth his own obedience to God's holy law and love and give himself for his wife, demonstrating that love, that same Christ-like love, as Christ did for the church. The wife and mother is to be honored for her submissive spirit. Now again, that might seem not evident at first, but it really is to be the case. I think that she will submit to him in everything as unto the Lord. That's what's being said here. She is subject to her husband just as the church is subject to Christ, it says here. And so it is a willing, loving submission and not a forced one. It's willing on her part. Loving on her part, subjection. Her husband will honor her for this holy, loving submission. He will, if he's discerning, tell her how much he appreciates her loving submission, that since he is far from being the perfect husband as Christ is, that he is unworthy of that submission, but he is very thankful for it and for all of her following his lead in the many decisions that they make together. The words, "That the husband may be won without a word, if any obey not the word, make it apparent that it is not only unbelieving husbands who are being talked about here, but even believing husbands who may not be thinking about, caring about, or loving their wives as they should. It's amazing to me how many commentators that I read yesterday said that that was referring only to unbelieving husbands. And I stopped and thought to myself, how many times have I had to apologize to my wife for things that I have said that were not worthy of her? The Lord has appointed this submissive and silent means to speak to the heart and mind of her husband. That's the truth of the matter. A means which will show him without any words of anger or resentment or defiance that she is dedicated to serving the Lord and her husband in all matters of concern to both of them. In this way, the husband might indeed be one, it says here, to do what would be the right thing, and the thing which is believed will be of help to them both in doing the will of God. This is also something which should be deeply appreciated by the husband. Husbands, do you appreciate your wives? Do you tell her so? Oh, it's so important. Second, she is to be honored because of her chaste conduct and godly fear. While your husband beholds your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Chaste, the Greek word hagnos, meaning clean and pure. The Greek word for fear here is phobos, meaning to be afraid or put into fear. The fear that's being talked about here, I believe, is the fear on the part of the wife of falling into anything impure in thought, word, or deed. This purity of heart and mind, as it is exhibited in her careful behavior in respect to others around her, and wanting to convey this respectful behavior, especially toward her husband, to show others that she is being faithful to him, not only in regard to sexual things, but also in regard to his reputation in the sight of others. And this is of great value. It's an indication that the wife does not want to displease her husband in anything, or to talk about him in a negative, complaining way in the presence of others. And that in that way, the way that she speaks and acts, and her whole conduct, she's showing herself to be above board, pure, pleasant, holy, wholly devoted to Christ and to her husband. Husbands, do you have a wife who is this way? Then you should honor her for it by telling her how much you value and appreciate her love and faithfulness. Third, she is to be honored because of her gentle and quiet spirit. Verses 3 to 5 of 1 Peter 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Now, certainly these are words which we all need to take notice of. There is an outward adornment, the arranging of the hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on of fine apparel. And then there, it says here, is an inward adorning of the hidden person. In the King James, it says the hidden man, the hidden person of the heart. You see, it's not that the outward things are not important. But they need not to be so impressive that they are always drawing attention to the woman, as if that was the most important thing. What should this hidden person of the heart of the woman be adorned with? It says she should be adorned with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And that this is very precious in the sight of God, and it ought to be honored and deeply appreciated by every husband and the children in the household as well. The pulpit commentary says literally, in the incorruptibility of the meek and quiet spirit. This ornament is incorruptible, not like those corruptible things. The meek spirit does not flash into anger, does not answer again, takes harsh words gently and humbly. The quiet spirit is calm and tranquil and peaceful in itself. It spreads peace around. Husbands and children, this is something that needs to be honored when it is known and seen in the life of the wife and mother. Let her know how much you appreciate this meek and quiet spirit. Express to her how glad you are that she is self-controlled and patient and loving and kind and not given to outbursts of anger and shouting and trying to control everyone by her words. How great is the grace in such a woman. And fourth, she is to be honored because of her doing good to all of her household. Verse 6, "For in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Now, doing good without any terror or amazement, as it is translated in the King James. The reference of Peter is to Genesis 18, verses 9 to 14. "Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?'" This is the Lord and the angels that came down to him to talk with him. "So he said, 'Here in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' Now Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying," listen to this now, "'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" My Lord being old also. "And the Lord said to Abraham," why did Sarah laugh? "Saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall bear a son," or have a son. I want you to see that Sarah did fall into unbelief in regard to the promise. But in the middle of it, she calls her husband Abraham her Lord, her earthly Lord. She was honored for this by Peter as he wrote the scripture. In other words, there was nothing unnoticed by the Lord in accordance with that conversation. Do you realize that there is nothing unnoticed by the Lord in all of our conversations with our husband or wife or other people around us? She fell into amazement that she would have a child At what? 90 years of age? Could this really happen? Yes, it really could, and it really did. But even though Sarah was amazed, she still thought respectfully of Abraham, her husband, as her earthly lord. Now, husbands, you ought to appreciate very much your wife, who holds you in high regard and esteem. Even in the most impossible of situations, as this one apparently seemed to be to them, you ought to appreciate her more and more as the days go by. And tell her how thankful you are that the Lord brought the two of you together to walk through this life together and to learn that the ways of God are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this short study on the honor that we as husbands and fathers ought to give to our wife and mother of our children. Give us grace, dear Lord, to honor our wives in this way that we've just talked about. We pray that you will make this a day of your praise here in the sanctuary, and that you will bring joy to the heart of every mother here in this place today, and all of us in having a godly mother, those of us who did. We praise you for your goodness, and thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.